taken 8 weeks to look at 39 chapters. And from those 39 chapters, we've learned lots and lots of things. We've learned about people, and we've learned about God. But much of what we've learned has been pretty bad news. Now, bad news matters, because this morning we're going to start looking at good news. But we only really understand how good the good news is when we have an idea of the bad news. Because it's the bad news that God saves us from. But here's the question. Does anybody want any good news this morning? Okay, so we're going to be looking at good news, not just this morning, but over the next few weeks as we come from chapter 40 to the end of the book. And we're going to be looking at how God promised that even though his people would be taken to a far off place, that they would be brought back to their land. And we're going to be looking at how, even though we often find ourselves in far off places, God's plan and God's purpose is always, always, always to draw us back to himself. And so this morning, however you feel, whatever you struggle with, whatever the situation is that seems to overwhelm you, with our God, there is always hope. Now, we're going to do things differently. In fact, we're going to do things in a way I've never done before. We're going to break the chapter into four sections. We've got three readers for the first three sections. And so we're going to hear some of God's word, and then we're just going to comment on it for a few minutes. And then we're going to hear some more of God's word, and we're going to comment on it again. But I know that you kids, you can do far more things at once than I can. And so there is some colouring there that goes with the message that we're looking at. But for the older kids, and maybe the adults, Isaiah 40, the W word challenge, it's a bit like Sesame Street this morning. If when you listen to me, I say any word that begins with W, I want to note it down. Okay, write it down, do it with your parents. Whoever wins, we're going to buy you a book at our negotiation. All right? Is that a deal? You like competition, don't you?
Yes.
He loves Is he going to win, though? Or is somebody else going to win? You're going to win. So, if you want, Theo, you're in charge of the papers. Indy, you're in charge of the pens. If you want a paper and pen, put your hand up, and my able assistants will come and serve you well. Quill, you're not getting the book if you win, just so you know. Your books may be more expensive than the budget allows. Daryl went white, our treasurer, when you got that. So we're going to look firstly at the God of all comfort. We're going to look at the first 11 verses of Isaiah 40. And Phil and Elijah are going to read to us. Thank you.
Elijah's going to read. So, Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned. Yes, the Lord has punished her twice over for her sins. Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. A voice said, shout. I asked, what should I shout? Shout that the people are like the grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in a field. The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. And so it is with the people. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops. Shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young.
Thank you so much. Now, I wanted to start by saying that here we find God is speaking to his people. But here we don't find that God is simply speaking to his people. What God is doing is shouting to his people. Now, I want you to note this. God is not shouting at them because he's angry or annoyed. God is shouting to them because God doesn't want them to miss what he's saying. His people will now be in a far off land, and God is speaking to his messenger and saying, shout comfort and peace and assurance, and remember that although you've wandered away from me and found yourself in a remote place, that I, the Lord, will draw you back. I, the Lord, will lead you home. Now, how would these people find their way back home? God doesn't say he will give them a map or a compass or a sat nav. God says that I will lead you home. And God here reveals himself as a shepherd to his people. Now, whenever I think of shepherds, I think of my dad's cousin. My dad was called Gwyn. His cousin was called Gwyn. And nearly everybody in the family was called Gwyn. But this man was called Gwyn Haddadwen, because that was his farm. And I remember as a youngster going to visit his farm, and Gwyn Haddadwen would take us out into the fields, and he had two sheepdogs, and he would whistle and shout. And these dogs would go in different directions, and then these sheep would start to emerge from behind bushes and walls and ditches. And suddenly people who were scattered became, sheep that were scattered started to form as a flock. And God is saying that he will gather people again, that those who were scattered will become a flock. But very interestingly, even though when I hear the word shepherd, I think of my dad, Gwyn's cousin called Gwyn, the people of Israel wouldn't. They would think of a shepherd who walked out front. And the sheep knew the shepherd's voice. And the shepherd would call the sheep. And so the sheep who were scattered would start again to gather. Quill spoke last week on Psalm 23. And he started to reflect from John chapter 10, when Jesus comes as the embodiment of the good shepherd to us. And in this passage, we find more pictures of God's shepherding, more God's care of us. He says that he will carry lambs in his arms. He will carry them close to his heart. God is not simply saying he will carry us in a functional, in a practical way. God is saying that he will care for us and provide for us, because he passionately loves us. The God of all comfort is the one who speaks comfort to his people. And there we've got a picture of a shepherd holding a staff. And if you remember in Psalm 23, it says this, that your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, when I think of comfort, I think of curling up in front of the telly, or I think of some gentle music. When I think of comfort, I don't think of rods and staffs. But when God speaks of comfort, he's talking about the rod of the shepherd that will beat away the enemies. He's speaking about the staff that will pluck us from destruction so he can hold us and protect us. And this is why God is speaking through Isaiah about comfort and peace to his people. It's why Paul, in the second letter to the Corinthians, doesn't simply say that our God is the God of some comfort, but that our God is the God of all comfort. Isn't that wonderful? Shall we read again some more of God's word before we reflect on it? So, Isaiah chapter 40, we, Theo, are going to be looking at the God of all creation, verses 12 to 17. Thank you.
He who else held the oceans in his hand, he who has measured off the heavens with his fingers, who else knows the weight of the earth, or who has weighed the mountains and the hills on a scale, who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord, who knows enough to give him advice or to teach him? Has the Lord needed anyone's advice? Does he need instructions about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? No, for all the nations of the world, but a drop in a bucket, in the bucket. They are nothing more than a dust on the scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. All the wood, Lebanon's forests, and all Lebanon's animals would not be enough to make a burnt offering worthy of our God. The nations of the world are worth nothing to him. In his eyes they count less than nothing, more in pairs and forth.
Brilliantly read, thank you. So having looked at the God of all comfort, we now look at the God of all creation. And if you heard what Theo read, there was something staggering. The passage speaks about God having fingers and hands. Now elsewhere, the Bible speaks about God having arms and feet. Now, is Isaiah saying that God is like us, but just bigger? Well, if God is like us, but just bigger, think about how much bigger God must be. Now, in John chapter 4, we find this, that God is spirit. But if God is spirit, why is it that Isaiah says that he has fingers and hands? Well, the Bible talks to us in ways that we can understand. So when the Bible says that God has eyes, it means that God sees. And when the Bible says that God has ears, it means that God hears. And when we read about God having feet, it means that God moves. And when God has arms, he reaches out and embraces, holds us to himself. Now, this last passage that was read to us by Elijah and Phil speaks about us being really, 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 really small. It speaks about us being like grass, where we are there one moment and gone the next. But this passage speaks not about us being really, 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 really small, but about God being really, 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 really big. And it speaks about the God of all creation. Now, it's a picture that I saw this week on the BBC website, okay? And it's a grand design spiral galaxy. Does anybody know what one of those are? And nor did I. But Wikipedia tells me this, that it's a spiral-shaped system of stars, dust, and gas clouds. And guess how far away it is? It is 11.6 million light years away. Anyone got any concept of how close that is? Well, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. That means light goes 7.5 times the Earth per second. It means that light can get to the moon in about 2 seconds. And if you travel at that speed for 11.6 million years, you will find yourself at this galaxy that we call M81. I thought that was a new motorway, but apparently it's not. Those are the words of the scientists, but the words of the poet just ask the questions. Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth, or who has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? This is the God that we sing about and celebrate. It's not the God that we fully understand. But it's the God who reveals himself to us. Not that we would fully understand him, but the God who makes himself known in order that we can marvel and delight and be thrilled by him. The God of all comfort is not a small God who's weak and powerless. The God of all comfort is our God, who's the God of all creation. We're going to have one more reading, one more reflection, and then we're going to sing again. So Rachel is going to read to us about the God who is beyond compare from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 18 to 27. Thank you.
To whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? Can he be compared to an idol formed in a mould, overlaid with gold and decorated with silver chains? Or if people are too poor for that, they might at least choose wood that won't decay and a skilled craftsman to carve an image that won't fall down. Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words of God? The words he gave before the world began, are you so ignorant? God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root. When he blows on them and they wither, the wind carries them off like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights?
Rachel, thank you. This is the God who's beyond compare. And it starts with what is, for us, a strange question. God saying, with whom will you compare me? But he's speaking to people who know other people who are making these little gods out of wood or clay. And they would make a little image and they would bow down to that image. But in the Bible, God doesn't simply say that we shouldn't make these other gods out of wood or clay, but even that we shouldn't make images of him, because any image of him will do him an injustice. Any picture of him would not fully portray his goodness and his glory. And so Isaiah is saying that this is our God, the one who sits above the earth, the one who is higher, the one who is greater than all things. This is another picture I just want to show you. This is our neighbourhood. Does anybody know what our neighbourhood is called? Anybody know what our neighbourhood is called? It's called the Milky Way. And I can't remember, or when I tried to remember, the name this week of the eight planets that are closest to us. But apparently in the Milky Way, there are between 100 and 400 billion stars. That's quite a lot. And actually quite a big difference, isn't it, that we can't agree if there's 100 billion or 400 billion. But in the passage that Rachel read, it said that God calls them not as a cluster, not as numbers, but God calls them each by name. Now, Rachel is a teacher. And by about the first week of September, Rachel will be expected to know the name of every child in her class. Not to describe them or to speak generally, you three at the back there, Rachel will be expected to call each child by name. And God is so big, our God, who is the God of comfort, the God of creation, the God who is beyond compare, according to Isaiah, is the one who calls the stars, each and every one, whether 100 billion or 400 billion, each by name. He's the one who knows you and your hurt and your pain. He's the one who knows your circumstance and your situation. He's the one who hears and sees and stoops to gather his people to himself. The picture I showed you at the beginning of this section is a statue. It's called Christ the Redeemer. It stands above the city of Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And the first thing that millions of people see in the morning is Christ the Redeemer. And the last thing that they see at night is this Christ the Redeemer. And I remember I was a late teenager or in my early 20s, and I was privileged to go and see Christ the Redeemer. And when I got there, I found myself really sad, because I looked at Christ the Redeemer and I realized that the first thing that people see in the morning, the last thing that they see at night, is a Jesus who doesn't see them, because his eyes are blind and his arms are rigid and his heart is made of stone. But our God, who is beyond compare, is one who sees us and knows us and receives us, because his heart beats with love for each of us. And so what we're going to do before we read the last section is have a break, and I want us all to stand, and I want us all to join in, because we're going to celebrate with one of my favourite songs, Our God is a Great Big God. Thank you, Lord.
I don't know if there's still any musical instruments out there.
There are.
Are there musical instruments out there? Shall we see if we can pick up the rhythm? Okay. One, two, three, four.
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. He's higher than a skyscraper, and he's deeper than a submarine. He's wider than the universe, and beyond my wildest dream. And he's known me, and he's loved me, since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. And He holds us in His hand. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. And He holds us in His hand. He's higher than a skyscraper, and He's deeper than a submarine. He's wider than the universe, and beyond my wildest dream. And He knows me, and He loves me, since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan.
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. And He holds us in His hands.
Our God.
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. And He holds us in His hands.
Our God.
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. And He holds us in His hands. And He holds us in His hands.
Praise God. Musicians, if you want, you stay where you want. Maybe Quill and Sandy want to rest their weary legs, but the rest of you, we're not going to be many minutes. I want to just read one final passage. It's from Isaiah chapter 4, chapter 40, and it's 28 to 31, Beatrix. Verses 28 to 31. Okay. There we go. Okay. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of His understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. A few years ago, Tracy and I were going into Oxford, and Tracy had an idea. She said, I tell you what, instead of driving, why don't we get the bus? So Tracy and I walked to the bottom of our street and waited at the bus stop. And to me, it felt like we waited and we waited and we waited. And in my mind, I was starting to compose a letter of complaint. And I said to Tracy, this is so wrong. And Tracy said to me, Gareth, get over yourself. It's been 5 minutes. The problem wasn't really the bus. The problem was me, because I do not like waiting. I find it frustrating. I find it pointless. And yet when we read the Bible, we find that to wait is good. To wait on God isn't something that's negative. It's something that's positive. Because as we wait, then hope and expectation start to build. As we wait, we remind ourselves of His promise. And when He delivers, we rejoice in His faithfulness to us. And Isaiah is speaking to these people who are weary, who find themselves in a far-off land, and it feels to them that they've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And he said, even young men, they become weak and tired. And sometimes even youngsters will fall with exhaustion. But if you wait on God, then you will find strength and you will receive new resources, and you will cultivate hope in your heart. And I want to speak to children and young people and adults alike, because I know you and I know your circumstances and I know some of your situations, and I know that there are people who are weary and tired, and it feels like you're just waiting and waiting and waiting forever. And I want to remind you that the one we wait on is the God of comfort. And the one that we wait on is the God of all creation. And the one that we wait on is the one who is beyond compare. And the one we wait on is the God who is ever caring, who, as we've seen, is not like a worthless idol, but as we've seen, is the God who sees, the God who hears, the God who embraces us, receives us, the shepherd who carries his people home because they're close to his heart. And Isaiah concludes this passage, this prophetic word, by saying that those who are weary, who wait, will receive, so that they soar high on wings like eagles. And I guess the closest thing that we have to an eagle in South Oxfordshire is a red kite. And I know we see them flap as they take off, but once they're airborne, they just seem to soar, because they pick up the thermals and the currents. And that which they perceive is the very thing that lifts them and gives them height and gives them strength. And I want you, when you find yourself weary, to wait on the Lord and to receive his grace and to soar on his word and to rest in his promises and to find hope in his assurance. And so we're going to pray now, and we're going to pray over individuals, and we're going to pray over us as a church, and we're going to pray for children and young people and adults alike. And so I just want us to be still in the presence of God. We're going to sing this lovely song in a few minutes, Let Strength Arise. But just in the stillness, I'm asking people to acknowledge before God where it is that you feel weary there, where it is you feel hopeless, where it is you feel disappointed or frightened or disillusioned. But I don't want you just to look in or look back. I want you to look up and look forward to the God of all comfort, the God of all creation, the God who is incomparable, the God who cares for us this morning. And God wants us to understand him better, but he wants us to experience his grace and his favour and his love and his strength. He wants us to experience his love through his Spirit. And so, Lord, we acknowledge our need before you. And Lord, we're going to stand and sing. And as we sing, and as we draw close to you, would you draw closer to us, closer and closer to us this morning? Not just to shape our understanding, but that we would receive every good gift we need, so we would soar on wings like eagles. So I'm going to ask us, if you can, to stand. Lord, meet with us in Jesus' name.
For us as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength for us as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon our God. You reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you don't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Strength for eyes.
Strength for eyes as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength for eyes as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the our God. You reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings.
You are
like eagles. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
You are
the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Just remain standing. I'm going to ask that we just close our eyes and bow our heads. And I'm going to ask that if you feel weak or weary going into a new week, that you just raise your hand and just allow me to see that and just to have the opportunity to pray for you. Thank you so much. I'm raising my hand as well, just so you know. Lord, we confess our need of you. And Lord, as we just lift our hands, we do so symbolically as if we're reaching up to you. We do so symbolically as if to say we surrender to you. Almost like a cup that needs to be filled with hope and with strength and with peace and with patience. So Lord, we cry out that you would come by your Spirit even now. Even now, Lord, bring your hope. Bring that equipping of your Spirit. Bring every good conviction of sin that would turn us from wrong to embrace all that is right. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who shouts words of comfort to us, your people, and we worship you. And Lord, for each one, we speak your blessing this morning. Thank you for this quite different time together. Thank you for your presence amongst us. And we pray that the peace of God would descend upon us and remain with us this week, so we would love you and honour you and serve you aright. In Jesus' name, we pray. Do want to encourage you to move downstairs, have a refreshment.